Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to another episode of White Wine Question Time, Something from the Cellar, our midweek mini drop that allows us to revisit some of our finest conversations. And this week, we're celebrating the long Easter weekend with some of our favourite guests that speak volumes to the brilliance of families and family support. From the most heartwarming moments to the ridiculously hilarious, we've got it all covered for you in this episode. And first up, we have Her Royal Highness, Princess Eugenie, who walks us through the incredible lineup of, well, frankly, phenomenal women she comes from and looks back on some of her fondest memories with her late grandmother. I want to talk to you about incredible women because you come from a line of extraordinary women who stretch back all the way across our history books, be it your own mother, Sarah Ferguson, your grandmother, the late Queen Elizabeth, your great-grandmother, the Queen Mother, Queen Victoria, whose name you share, your sister. I mean, I could go on. So I wondered if you could share with me what you've learned from the women around you, the line from which you are from, and also the other women that have crossed your path and have maybe informed and shaped you into the woman that you are today.
Gosh.
Big one.
That is a big one.
I know.
My mum, you know, she really grounded in me this sense of giving back. And it comes quite natural to want to do that because of watching her growing up. You know, she's founded a charity herself and built schools and went around the world, and we shared her with all the children we could think of that she needed to help. And so, you know, I very much grounded a lot of my, you know, giving back into what she did. And so she really, you know, her example is definitely something I live by. You know, and then the same goes really for my grandmother. You know, she was just one of the best people in the world. And, you know, she...
I think a lot of the world agree with that.
Yeah. She, her sense of duty and her dedication and her love of her people, and, you know, it really happened in public, like you all saw, and it happened in private with us. And, you know, we learned how to do things from her as well, you know, and all the, you know, how to talk to people, how to you know, stay strong and dutiful and kind. You know, she really instilled in us a huge amount. And gosh, I'm lucky to have a bit of her you know, I when she died, I said that to people. I said, you know, God, how lucky am I to have part of her in me, you know? Oh. And then my sister, you know, she is incredible. So she just did a podcast all about, she's got dyslexia and she's got, she worked so hard her whole life and yet she's got dyslexia. And it is, she's just come out saying how that made her the person she is today. And I totally see that now, you know, with a lot of how we interacted and how she had schooling and everything. And she's now using that in everything she does in life. And that's just so cool that, you know, she's speaking out for that and saying that, you know, it's just a different way of thinking and different way of understanding the world. And you know, she's a great mom and I always ring her. I ring her for nearly everything. What do I do about this? What do I do about that? Same goes for my mom, literally constant. So I think...
You've got a little WhatsApp group.
Yeah, big time. But the same goes for my girlfriends as well. Like we've got a chicks group, we call it, and we constantly texting each other. And I think, you know, women supporting women is like the coolest thing in the world. I think in terms of who's sort of touched my life is definitely, sorry, I can hear my kid running around outside. Hang on one sec.
All right. Also, with your sister, you posted on your Instagram a moment of great pride for you. It was her speaking at a tech conference. And I don't think people, maybe people don't understand what it is that she does for a living, but she is a pretty high-flying woman in tech. And to stand up and speak to a room as she did at a podium, I know everyone thinks that, well, that's what we do in that family. You know, it's not. That, you know, if you have dyslexia, public speaking is pretty daunting, and she stood up and delivered an incredible speech, and you were so full of praise for her. You can tell you've really got each other's backs. This is a great double act.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think I read a quote the other day, which could be a bit sad, but it said, it was on Time magazine, and it said, your children arrive too late and your parents leave too soon. So your siblings are really the only people that you've got everything, you know, surrounding yourself with. And I think Beatrice and I, like our whole lives, we've realized that we've always had each other. You know, we're the only ones that are going through exactly what the other one's going through exactly that time as a girl, you know, in our family or in our place of work or whatever it is. Like it is happening to both of us. I think that's kind of extraordinary to think about. Like, we're not twins, and I'm sure, I don't know if you have siblings, but you know, you're not twins, but yet you go through life knowing exactly what the other one's going through. Mm-hmm. And Beatrice, you know, she's my big sissy. She's a legend. She's annoying when she wants to be, and I'm really annoying to her back, but we are, you know, we love each other, best of friends.
I think that was evident even from when you were teeny tiny. I'm sure you have no recollection of this, but the first time I met you both was with your mum backstage at the X Factor, and you were guests of the Osbournes.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
You had the best manners ever.
Did we?
I'm like, wow, they're so polite. And there's Sharon shouting at her children, effing and blind, and going, see, you need to be more like that.
Oh my God. So that is so funny, because my mum, she used to, if I was ever, you know, in a public situation, or if I had to talk to like the 98-year-old granny and I was like 4 years old, she would turn to me and she goes, I'll give you 17 bags of sweets. And then I would go over and
raised on sugar.
Yeah. I would go over and I'd say hi, or I'd be polite, or I'd take a photo or whatever. And I think mum still owes me like 150 bags of sweets, because they never actually, you know, never actually went out that way, but it was a good bargaining chip on how to get me. But I think, yeah, manners maketh man. I'm trying to do it to my kids now. And my mum's, right? You know, she knows every single doorman's name in London. You know, the cabbies, all those guys, like they're like her best friends. And she's always instilled in us that you know, everybody at some point is in service. So, yeah. You know, manners maketh man.
As we look back over the history books, you again, it's something that you posted on your Instagram, was you shared an image of Queen Victoria. And I thought she was quite a remarkable woman in as much as, I mean, we've talked about your grandmother, your late grandmother, who reigned longer than any other monarch in history. But actually, Queen Victoria, she came to the throne as an 18-year-old, I mean, I'm going to say girl, because you are still a girl at 18 in my book. What an extraordinary set of circumstances to find yourself in as you literally dip your toe into adulthood.
Totally. I think, I don't know how she would have done it. Queen Victoria in our family is upheld as one of the most incredible sort of role models because of what she did, like when she started at 18 and how she went through her entire life as queen, and she lost her husband. And we know so much about her in our family because my mum writes books and has, you know, loves Queen Victoria and Prince Albert. And she did a film about her as well.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah. What was it called? The Young Victoria. And so,
really good.
It was really good, yeah.
She knows her onions, your mum, when it comes to royal history, doesn't she? She really does her homework.
No, she's great. She knows a lot. But I mean, it's you know, she was a remarkable, remarkable woman and a remarkable monarch. And in a time when, you know, the world was massively changing, like the Industrial Revolution and, you know, Prince Albert did the, what's it called? The Great Exhibition. And, you know, I mean, it was such a huge changing part of England right then.
Changing landscape, changing the way that buildings were erected. I mean, so much of what they did as a couple sits around us to this day. And it's extraordinary, isn't it? Because, you know, when you look back over the history books, predominantly women have always been subservient. I'm not talking about in your family, I'm just talking about, you know, in the world in general. And in many parts of the world, that is very much still the case. But actually, when you look at your family line, it's extraordinary women leading the way. Queen Victoria, your grandmother, her mother, the Queen Mother, was never intended to be queen. This is somebody that had to pivot very quickly as a young married woman after her brother-in-law abdicated and suddenly finds herself in the middle of the Second World War, refusing to leave as London is blitzed, trying to restore faith and belief in the need for a family like the royal family to lead us through those incredibly difficult times. I mean, extraordinary women.
Yeah, and I think also in our family, you know, when there is a leader, whether it's a male or a female, you've got the other side, the consort, you know, the doing a hell of a lot, you know, in their world to make things amazing. And I think that's what, you know, the support system around each monarch that's gone, you know, in history before has a support system. And I think you can see that today, and you can see that now with my family and with generations past and my grandfather and the like. You know, it's very much, you know, the support system around them as well.
It's the partnership.
Yeah.
Next up, keeping with the family affair theme, we have Colleen and Maureen Nolan from the Nolan Sisters. Back in the 70s and 80s, they were the biggest girl band the UK had ever seen. In fact, in Japan, they outsold the Beatles. They worked together, they played together, they acquired a surrogate father together in the form of the legendary Frank Sinatra. You had so many hits. You toured the world time and time again. You experienced things as a family that most people can only dream of. So I wondered if you could go back and pick your greatest hit moment from your time in the group, from any era.
Well, mine would be, this morning, the Sinatra tour would be mine.
Sinatra. So you supported him on his European tour, right?
Yeah, in 1975, you know, it was that long ago. But we were brought up in Sinatra. My dad was a crooner, you know, great singer, actually, my dad. And so we knew every crooner. We knew all the lyrics to all those standards and stuff, you know. And so then we were offered this tour, which is a dream. We watched the show every night. And we used his 60-piece orchestra. And
did you?
And he used to come over at the sound check and say, you girls are a little bit young to remember these songs. And I felt like, you want to stand up, you know, now I think, why didn't one of us stand up and go, we know every lyric, we know what you had for breakfast, we know what colour underpants you wear. You know, he was almost like a surrogate father growing up. We knew him so well because we adored him, you know. I, you know, you can't really stand up and say that.
What was it like working with him, having admired him and him being such a big part of your family
life? Yeah, just an absolute dream. It was a dream then and it still seems like a dream. Who gets that opportunity, you know? For me, that was certainly one of the standout memories for me. What about you, Cole?
I think the whole 80 thing in Japan was incredible, and something that at the time I didn't appreciate enough because it was hard work and I was very young and I spent most of it going, oh, I just want to go home, you know.
Yeah. Did you? You didn't. Yeah. I remember you saying you didn't really eat much while you were there.
Well, you never had time. Yeah. I mean, you think you work hard in this country, you've no idea how the Japanese work. And to be fair, it worked. You know, we broke so many records out there, and the first, you know, international act to do whatever, and we broke all those records. So they know what they're doing, but they have no concept of that you need to eat or go to the toilet.
Or sleep.
So it was or sleep. Yeah, so it's really, really, really hard work. But when I look back now, I look back and go, wow, it was absolutely... It was the first time and probably the last time where I felt like a proper pop star.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, screaming. Yeah, screaming in the street. We weren't allowed to leave the hotel. We had to have the army take us around. You know, when we're on the bullet train, we had to be surrounded by the army to get us on the train. I mean... It was like everything you dream of a pop star when you're a kid. And there I was at 15 living it, but not appreciating it at the time.
Cole, you were 15. And so you'd always been too young to join the band until that point. And then when you joined, it just went international. I mean, you sold more records in Japan than the Beatles.
Yeah. Well, at that time, yeah. I know. And we were the first international... We were the first satellite as well. Yeah, we did our first satellite from Piccadilly Square over to Japan. Yeah, it was the first time they'd done that, and loads of things. First international act to be in the
international charts and the national charts.
Yeah,
the Japanese charts and the international charts. Yeah, number one.
It was just things like that where you go, wow. I don't think I appreciated that enough.
But how do you when you're 15? You know, it's hard,
isn't
it?
I know, but I drive my kids mad now because I'm 55 and I still go on about it now. And whenever they say anything, I go, I think you forget I was huge in Japan.
And unfortunately for us, that because that all catapulted and happened as she joined the act, she always says it was because of her that all
obviously.
Well, to be honest, Cole, it all stacks up as a story, doesn't it? It's like, oh, I joined an international stardom beckoned.
Yeah, exactly. I've been going years before that, studying the board.
But you know what? You look back now, like imagine your daughter at 15 experiencing that.
Wow, yeah. You'd be terrified for them at the same time, wouldn't you?
You'd be terrified for them, and I'd be so protective of her. And the first time she'd ever phone me up and go, I'm just tired, I want to come home. I know as a mom, I'd dash over there and get her.
Yeah, you would.
It's the wrong thing to do. But
luckily we had partners with us. Linda's husband was with us at one point, and my partner was with us, Richie, who I later married. But and our mum and dad came as well, so we were protected, and we used to protect each other, really, you know, in lots of ways. If any of us if one of us was getting big time, you know, the others would sort of slap them down, really.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. We've always done everything and being surrounded by family. And I think that makes such a difference. You know, the thoughts of Kira going off at 15 on her own, or even if I'd have been 15 on my own, I don't think I would have been able to cope with that on my own.
Oh, God, no.
No.
No, but I mean, and you were always the baby of the family. So
yeah, I still am. I'm 55 and they still treat me like I'm 12.
Do you?
On the cruise, she just went back to being the baby. And Anne was a big sister, motherly, you know. We all sort of went back into our little slots, you know, that we were in the day, you know, back in the day. So, yeah, she's always the baby, really. Still the baby, I know. It's like, shut up and wait till you're spoken to. It's like, hello, I'm 55.
But listen, you know what? You two have just pinpointed two moments that are magical to you. And just, like, savour that, right? You went on, you supported Frank Sinatra on tour, and then you broke the mould in Japan as the first international band to hit.
Yeah.
Like, that's massive. Amazing.
Yeah.
And then you were playing stadiums in Russia.
Yeah.
That was bizarre.
That was an experience,
How was that?
Amazing, actually. It was before Glasnost and everything, so literally there was nothing to eat. I mean, we were existing on boiled eggs and cucumbers, weren't we, Colleen? And occasionally we'd get out. Occasionally
not
we got
Coke, as in Coke. I mean, Coke.
And vodka. I mean, I'm not really a big drinker, but I remember drinking half a bottle of vodka a night. That's all there was to do at night, drink vodka.
We turned all our bedrooms into English pubs, names of English pubs. So after the gig every night, someone would go, should we go to the Red Lion tonight? And it was like, no, we went there last night. We'll go to the Raging Bull or something.
So all our crew and our band and all would come in there and we'd have a ball. But I remember one of our opening weeks in Moscow, the one that each floor had a warden, like a big woman warden, and she came and she went, very late, go to bed. And we went, yeah, whatever, you know, and shut the door. And then there was another knock and she'd come back and there was a guy with a machine gun behind us.
What?
And we went, oh, is that the time?
Yeah, I was like, oh, bedtime.
Mike, but that must have all felt, I mean, so otherworldly. Because culturally it was so different. Japan, Russia. Like it is now. It's a different time, isn't it?
Well, we'd have killed for McDonald's then, wouldn't we, Colleen? And they did open one after Glasnost and all that. They opened at McDonald's in Red Square or somewhere, didn't they? We would have killed for that, I think. Because
we were desperate for food. Just milk for our tea. Remember, we drank black tea for 6 weeks. We couldn't get milk.
Trust you to remember that.
You know what's really weird? The day we got home, Shane, I was with Shane then, and he picked me up from the airport, and we went home, and he cooked me an English breakfast, and I sobbed all the way through it. Proper cried. And he kept going, bloody hell, is it? I thought it looked all right. What's up with it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And last but not least, the actor Mark Bonner gets all choked up by the love he has for his family after I shared with him some, well, rather lovely words that his dad had written for a local newspaper.
This is something I found in the Times. It's from your dad, and it's your dad talking about you. And I thought this sounded like just the most wonderful love letter. So have a listen, and then maybe after this, you can give me your thoughts on it and also compose your own love letters to the people that you love the most. Your dad says, I'm proud of Mark. When I first saw him on telly, I felt this immense wave of pride. Absolutely gobsmacked pride. Max from Gill is probably my favourite character he's played. Watching Mark in that show, all I could see was this explosion of talent that he's developed over the years. And that's it, straight up, just so much talent. And when Mark and I were filming the documentary, you did a documentary with your dad, I was able to bask in the reflected glory of that talent just a wee bit. People recognised Mark. They recognised my son and wanted him, and they wanted to talk to him about his work. And I hope this doesn't make me sound like a silly bugger, but it gave me a warm glow inside. That's my boy you're talking about. That's my wee boy.
Oh, fucking hell.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. It's lovely. I haven't read that, actually, I don't think.
You should.
Well, you've just read it out to me and made me cry, so it's gorgeous.
And I just thought, what a beautiful love letter. And yeah, that is just so from the heart. That was so unfiltered.
He's an incredible person. He's an incredible human, my dad. Both my mum and dad are incredible humans. Mum kind of trained as a cook, really, after they met at school. They met at Trinity in Edinburgh when they were 16, 17, I think, and started going out. And then Dad got a place at Duncan of Jordanston Art College in Dundee. They got married in Edinburgh. I was on the way, I think.
But your dad wanted to be an artist, which must have sounded like saying at that time, in that place in their lives, in that part of the world, I want to be a unicorn. Because you, Van Gogh, you know, I mean, just wasn't a job. It wasn't a thing.
No, and it was nowhere on the landscape of his home life, really, either. His dad, Felix, who was Polish, my granddad had come over from Warsaw during the war. His mum was a nurse. So it wasn't a kind of, it was in no way a kind of arty family, like mine was, you know. I don't know. I don't know where exactly it came from, and I'm going to have to ask him. He does a blog. He's got a blog that he adds to, a sort of biographical blog, autobiographical blog online. But I don't know if he sort of specifically mentioned that. Anyway.
But your dad was eventually, I mean, like, he talks about your explosion of talent. Your dad had his own explosion of talent.
Yes.
And he monetized it. He made it work. He raised a family doing the job that he loved. Yeah. And that must, in its own way, have been sort of like an everyday living love letter to you guys, because it's like, look, you can do something you love.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's amazing things that he did, like, you know, he would make us things. So for my probably about seventh birthday, I guess, I got this beautiful handmade sort of wooden crane that you could sit on, and it was varnished. It was just like finished off. You could sit on it, sit on the sort of cab of the crane. The arm of the crane was there, and you would, there was two things. There was a big magnet on the end of it, so you could turn around, and he'd made it from scratch.
That's a love letter.
That's, of course,
that's an act of love.
Yeah. He made me a go-kart. Yeah. He made me so
many
money. Things.
It was all
no
not
money
together
at all.
Of energy,
no,
love,
which
effort.
Is what you did back in the day. You didn't buy it, you made it, you know. And he was lucky enough, and he's passed a little of it down to me, thank God. But he was lucky enough to be able to do anything, and he still can. He's just finished, you know, at the ripe old age of 74. He's just completely ripped out their whole bathroom and redesigned it and tiled it and fitted the shower and bath and toilet and everything.
Skills
to, and done the pipe work.
You like a bit of DIY though as well, don't you?
I love a bit of DIY. Yeah, I'm not as good as him, but I love a bit of DIY.
Do you know who else is an actor that loves a bit of DIY?
Who?
Owain Arthur.
And now, Owain's much better than me. He does all kinds. I couldn't make the stuff he makes.
He's very
I can
good.
Fix stuff and put
Owain
shelves
is
up.
He's currently being seen in The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But in between jobs,
knocks up a shelf like no one else.
Oh my God, he's
literally
brilliant. Yeah.
His carpentry is up there with Jesus.
It really is.
But if those were love letters from your dad to you, what would your love letters, how does that look now to, in terms of what you serve up to your family? How do you show that to Lucy, to the kids, to your parents?
Gosh, that's a good question. I think, well, that's probably what it, I mean, you're talking about DIY. I take a great pride in, you know, for example, Samuel loves Minecraft. Okay. So, when we had to get the house, the attic seen to last year because there was a illicit bathroom in the eaves, so we had to put proper
an illicit bathroom.
Sounds, yes,
it sounds wonderfully
flowery,
it
doesn't it? I'm very good at flowery. yes, it was illicit, and we had to support it properly. So we had to move out for a month, and they had to rip out Samuel's wall and put in support and da da da. He loves Minecraft, so I made his room a Minecraft room. So I stenciled Minecraft clouds on the ceiling, and so I guess that kind of thing's a love letter to.
First of all, the nights you're not there, you're still there, because you need to look up
exactly,
and there you
are. So I love doing stuff like that for them and putting things up, and like there's LED lights that Martha got for Christmas, which I'm going to put up today when I go home. I take a great pleasure in doing things, practical stuff, I guess. And I do take Lucy a cup of tea every morning in bed.
Do you?
Yeah.
Good man.
Well, you know, I like to do it. It's...
Makes you feel good.
Yeah, well, yeah. And yeah, I guess it does, yeah. It's just the wee things, isn't it? I mean, it was our 15-year anniversary, wedding anniversary, on the 20th of December. I couldn't believe it was 15 years we were celebrating, and because I'm still filled with love when I look at her, you know. Which is a wonderful thing to feel,
isn't it?
She made a really brilliant point, I think, which was somebody had asked her, what do you think is important? And I was going, oh, Christ, I fucking don't know. You just work at it, whatever that means, you know. And she was saying, I think that saying thank you is a really important thing for whatever it is. And I think we always take the time to show the kids that we appreciate each other, what each other does in our daily lives. I think, and it was a really brilliant point that made me go, Christ, that is true. We do that. And I think gratitude is a really important thing. It's respect. It's kind of, it's showing respect to the other person and the other people in your life, you know. So with that in mind, what I would say to my parents is to thank them for the, you live with what is brought into your life, you know. You kind of think that that's the norm, you know, you think that whatever you're given when you're a child is the norm. So we kind of, looking back, didn't realise how lucky we were, you know, to be brought up in a kind of creative, inventive place where ideas were welcomed and encouraged and celebrated, you know. Yeah.
There was no lid put on your pot, was there?
Dream
hard, dream big, work hard, try it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were, not only were we kind of, you know, lucky enough to have this wonderful sort of creative miasma of stuff at home, but we were lucky enough to have, in the 80s as well, a kind of amazingly strong, strident mother figure there as well, you know. So a fantastic mix. So I'd say to them, thank you for all of that, you know, and, you know, I love you so much.
Well, I loved what your dad said about you.
I do too.
And you hadn't read that?
Well, I think I'd read a little piece of it. I think I'd read the beginning, but... or maybe I'd read a different article that used that piece, that used just a bit of it.
Yeah, it was in the Times.
In the Times, okay. Fucking hell.
It's just a nice...
Maybe it's just the beautiful way you read it made me go, oh, my God!
Thanks so much for joining me for this week's Trip to the Cellar. If you'd like to hear any of the episodes in full, and I can only encourage you to do so, just search for the guests by their name in our extensive back catalogue.
it saves you scrolling. This week, we've had Her Royal Highness, Princess Eugenie, the Nolan sisters, and the actor Mark Bonner. That's B-O-N-N-A-R. Oh, before I go, one more thing. Remember, you can always find us on Instagram for all the latest about the show. We're at @whitewine_questiontime. And also, please hit the follow button on Spotify. It's really, really helpful in terms of us being able to find you. I'll be back on Friday with another brand new guest. Until then, thanks for listening.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.